By midday, they'd traveled a little more than half the distance to the dig site. True to his word, Dave had stayed at the wheel, only taking small breaks to use the jerry can situated in the back of the snowcat. During those times, Anya had kept the tracked snow vehicle trudging over the ice sheets and on course with the GPS system, which was actually very easy to follow.
I don't know why you said this was tricky. Any idiot could use this thing.
Oh, well, thank you very much. Yeah, I tend to exaggerate a little bit.
I can take the wheel a while longer if you want to sleep.
Well, let's see how Zach's doing. He might be up for a break. Zach, Dave here. How you doing back there, pal?
Tired. You guys?
Yeah.
Well, I think Anya could use a break.
Let's take a break, then. I could use some grub. Not to mention a fresh cup of coffee.
Yeah, all right. There ought to be a place we can rest about a mile farther on. Look on your GPS about a mile ahead of my position. Steer for that, and once we get there, we'll get some food going. Dave out.
Anya followed the course he'd plotted on the screen. As the snow vehicle traveled on, the line on the screen showed her position exactly. After another 2 minutes, she could see the flashing icon, indicating they were just about at the rest point.
Yeah, pull it in over there behind that hill. We should be on the leeward side, so we'll be out of the wind. We can actually get out and stretch our legs. We don't want to get blood clots.
That would be bad.
Anya turned the snowcat in and then turned it around.
Now keep the engine on, otherwise she'll freeze up and we'll never get a start again.
Zach maneuvered his snowcat into position right next to their vehicle. A moment later, Dave opened the door and hopped out, sinking up to his knees in snow. Anya followed and was amazed at how good she'd been feeling throughout the trip thus far. Her ribs had ceased aching, and now only a dull throb every once in a while remained. The fresh air felt marvelous on her face, despite being drastically cold. Zach waved at her.
How you doing?
Hey, Zach, did you know she was attacked last night after she left us at the bar?
What? Are you all right?
I had a bruised rib, but frankly, it's feeling fine right now.
When we stop for the night, you'll have to tell me about it. For right now, let's get the cats tanked up with gas and get some food on. I'm starving.
Dave was already getting 5-gallon gas cans out of the back of Zach's snowcat. They took turns tipping them into the gas tanks, eventually topping them off.
Dave, I can't believe how much gear these things can haul.
But are built for this kind of thing. And luckily, they can tolerate the conditions, provided we treat them right.
I'd hate to get stranded out here.
Zach walked over to Anya and Dave, his shoulders hunched against the wind.
We've got beef stew for lunch, and it's piping hot.
How'd you manage that?
Space-age technology. You'd be amazed at what you can fire up even down here.
Dave threw the empty gas cans back into the snowcat, and they all got back into Dave and Anya's snowcat for lunch. The cab was filled with the sweet smell of the bubbling beef stew. Anya leaned over the bowl and sniffed. It smelled incredibly good.
Wow. That smells great. Almost fresh.
It almost is. One of the cooks I know back at McMurdo makes a great recipe of this stuff. She gets the freshest vegetables she can when the supplies come in. She owed me a favor, and here's the result.
Anya spooned up some of the beef stew and tasted it. Her mouth swam in the juices and broth.
Mmm. Oh, even the beef is pretty good.
Dave handed her a water bottle.
Hey, with almost 0% humidity down here, it's good to keep drinking water. People don't even realize they can dehydrate so quickly.
Thanks. I feel better already.
You sure you're okay? I mean, after being attacked and all last night.
It was a weird run-in. They clearly hoped I'd be dead by now. The first guy tackled me and left me squirming on my back, unable to flip over so I could get out of the way of the oncoming snowcat.
How'd you get out?
I unzipped my parka and wriggled out of it. Hurt like hell, though, after having my ribs cracked.
Had to be those guys from last night at the bar. You weren't in town long enough for anyone else to be pissed off at you.
Yeah, but why would they just opt to kill me? Doesn't make any sense. We were just having words.
So what did the marshal say?
Not much he could say. He promised to keep an eye out for the two guys. Said he'd head down to Gallagher's and have a word with folks, that kind of thing. But honestly, I'm not all that hopeful about getting any results.
I wouldn't be either. Even though it's winter, there are still ways to vanish around here if you know where to go.
Anya frowned in thought for a moment, trailing her spoon idly through the remainder of her stew.
What the hell is going on?
I don't know. Truth is, the dig is probably what's causing the problem. It's almost impossible to keep anything a secret down here. People talk all the time, and the settlements are in constant communication with each other. Hell, if need be, the folks back at Mactown can punch a couple of keys and see exactly where this snowcat is right now.
Dave nodded and eyed Anya, his expression grim.
Yeah, privacy is almost non-existent down here. Everyone knows each other's business.
Amazing that this dig site has remained so secret given the scope of the project.
What do you mean?
We aren't going to some base camp with just a few pitched tents. The government folks have come in and set up a pretty elaborate camp. They don't do things half-assed. Well, at least not anything like this.
Will we get there by nightfall?
We're doing pretty well so far. Dave, what do you think?
Well, theoretically, if the weather doesn't get any worse, I think we can continue and make it in time for dinner.
Excellent. I'd rather get a bunk than have to sleep in the cat.
My ribs could use a flat surface to sleep on. I'm feeling okay, but I think as the day wears on, I might be in more pain again.
Did the docs give you anything to take for it?
Yeah, but I'm one of those people who doesn't like to take pills if I can possibly avoid it.
I like pills. Better living through chemistry.
Well, if I don't need mine, you can have the unused portion of my prescription, okay?
Oh, great!
You'd think you just offered him the chance to lick the icing off the bowl.
Anyway, we should get going. Idling too long puts too much pressure on the cats, and the last thing we want is to break down out here.
Has that ever happened to anyone?
More often than you'd think. In the short time I've been here, there have been 2 fatalities.
That's only because they were damn fools and didn't stay with the cats. Survival protocol is to stay with the vehicles. Since they can track them with GPS, the rescue teams know exactly where to go. Only idiots would leave the cats.
Anya shivered as a blast of wind rocked the cat and snow pelted the windows. Dave put his spoon into his bowl.
I'll clean up the dishes.
He collected Anya's and Zack's and then opened the door, hopped out of the cat, and closed the door. Through the windows, Anya watched him washing the dishes in the snow.
What was that about?
The 2 people who died were friends of his. They came down because he recommended it, but he was sick the day they went out. I think he blames himself and covers it up by acting angry. You wouldn't know it, but Dave is a pretty complex guy. I haven't known him all that long, but I trust him with my life.
Well, that's good to know, considering my little run-in last night.
Yeah, well, if there's trouble at the dig site, Dave is the one guy you'll want at your back.
You expect trouble?
I don't know what I expect, but given how things are going, anything is possible.
And the necklace? What about that?
Probably the cause for anything bad that's going to happen.
As the afternoon dragged into the evening hours, Anya could clearly make out the peaks of the Transantarctic Range stretching in front of her. She marveled at how small they seemed.
Those are mountains? They look like foothills from here.
That's because the majority of their mass is buried under the snow and ice. What you're seeing are the very tops of them.
How tall are they?
Well, I think about 4,400 meters at the tallest point. Certainly not the size of the Himalayas, but sizable nonetheless.
So when we say we're actually going on a dig, we really are digging down, huh?
Yep. No real need to climb up. All of the history of this continent is buried down deep. Makes things a little easier, not having to trek lots of equipment up a steep slope.
Incredible.
Even through the windshield, the jagged peaks of the mountains, barely visible in the weak light, looked like the background of a science fiction movie. And the ever-present horizontal snow gave the environment even more of a sense of foreboding. Anya sucked down some more water and then replaced the cap. She turned in her seat, and her ribs felt almost normal.
You seem to be handling that cracked rib easily enough. And you haven't touched your meds.
Yep. I guess I'm a pretty fast healer.
Never seen someone bounce back from busted ribs quite like you.
I imagine there are plenty of things I could probably do that you haven't seen before.
Yeah, I'd bet on that.
Through the back windshield, Anya could make out Zack's vehicle following in their wake. His caterpillar tracks chewed up the snow being churned out by Anya's snowcat and seemed to spit it sideways into a nice blazed trail.
This is a mighty isolated stretch of journey we're undertaking.
Well, at this point, if we get into trouble, we're screwed. The station at the South Pole might just be a hair closer than McMurdo, but Either way, without a flyover, any rescue would take the better part of a full day to get to us. It looks like the weather's getting worse.
Dave was right. The amount of snow flying at them seemed to have increased exponentially. At times, it looked like a wall of white was headed right for them. But Dave continued to steer the cat according to the GPS.
Guys?
Anya grabbed the handset and keyed it.
Hey, Zach, what's up?
I got a bit of a problem back here.
Dave glanced in the rearview mirror. Anya turned in her seat.
Where are you?
I caught a snow slide, buried the cat.
Jesus!
Dave wheeled the snow cat around and started back.
We're coming back for you, Zach. Hang on!
Dave leaned close to the windshield, trying to judge his distance to Zach's cat.
We need to get him out of here as fast as possible.
Zach, is your engine dead?
Yeah. Snow clogged the intakes and shut it down.
Carbon monoxide. We have to get him out of here. You feel well enough to help out?
Absolutely.
Anya jumped out of the idling vehicle and followed Dave around to the rear of the cat. He handed her a shovel and then leaned close to her head.
We need to dig the cab out first. If we don't get to Zach, he'll be dead from trapped fumes, understand?
Got it!
Let's go!
The wall of snow blew into them hard, whipping past Anya's head as they dug into the mound of snow that had buried Zach.
There's a track here. Climb up with me.
Dave held out his hand and Anya took it. Together, they scaled the side of the cat. Dave got his shovel and started leaning in and scooping the snow off the cab. Anya got her own shovel in and tried to shove some of the powdery snow off. Pain flashed from her sore ribs.
You say something?
When it hurts, I know I'm alive.
Gradually, they cleared part of the windshield. Inside the cab, they could see Zach. He'd zipped up and looked quite calm sitting there. Anya waved, but she got no response from him.
Is he okay?
Dave pressed his face against the glass and peered in.
Oh, damn it! Keep digging!
Anya drove her shovel down into the snow and kept clearing. They worked at the side door of the cab and finally got the handle exposed.
Now stand back!
Dave got in front of Anya and grabbed the handle and yanked on it. Dave was already inside getting his hands on Zach's coat.
Give me a hand, Anya!
Zach was completely limp as Dave heaved him out, and Anya grabbed his arms to help. They all slid down together into the snow. Anya grabbed a handful of snow and wiped it all over Zach's face. Dave slapped him.
Wake up, you lazy bastard!
Zach lay there in the snow, unresponsive.
He couldn't have been in there long enough, could he?
I don't know.
He bent down low and blew three breaths into Zach's mouth. Dave came up and then checked Zach's pulse.
There's a pulse!
Zach's eyes suddenly fluttered.
You okay?
Zach turned and threw up in the snow. The vomit steamed in the frozen air. Dave helped him sit back up.
Oh, next time, don't take so long to call the cavalry, okay?
Anya rushed to their cat and got Zach some water. When she walked back, he was already on his feet. He took the bottle and took several swigs, which he then spit out.
Oh, thanks.
You're welcome.
I don't think Zach's cat is going to be salvageable. The engine seems pretty well shot. I guess the snow and ice did a number on it. Zach, what the hell happened?
I was following you guys, then all of a sudden I heard this weird sound, like a rumble. The next thing I know, this wall of snow just engulfs me. A split second, I was buried. Just glad you guys weren't that much farther down the trail. Any longer and I would have been a goner.
Everybody back to my cat. Let's get you warmed up, Zach. I and I'll salvage what we can from your cat and pack it into ours.
Dave led him over to their cat, and Anya watched as Zach climbed inside the cab. Dave came trudging back through the snow, leaning into the wind as he approached her.
You okay?
Yeah, just concerned about Zach.
Well, he'll be okay now. The fresh air did him good. We need some of the fuel in the equipment, as much as we can get into our cat.
Anya helped him with the fuel cans first. They topped off their cat, then Dave pulled from the dead snow cat a number of heavy-duty boxes that were taped up with all sorts of strange-looking tape.
What are those?
Sex stuff. I don't ask about it.
They dragged them through the snow to the back of their cat. Dave got them situated inside and then headed back to the buried cat one final time. Anya watched him move through the snow. He seemed at ease in this bizarre landscape, as if he'd been born to the snow. She shook her head and then looked up at Zack. He seemed to be focused on something far away. Anya tapped on the glass. He glanced down at her and smiled. Dave came walking back.
Okay, I think we got as much of the stuff as we're gonna be able to haul with us. As it is, we're gonna be a lot heavier now than we were.
Is that bad?
It slows us down and burns more fuel.
Will we make it?
If we don't, we'll be close enough to radio for help.
That's a relief.
Come on, let's get going. We've been out too long as it is.
Anya climbed back in the cab and got herself situated behind Zack, who now sat in the shotgun seat. Dave climbed in and shut the door. With a jerk, the snow cat spun on its tracks and headed off again, following the path laid out on the GPS. Anya glanced out the back windshield. She could just make out part of the cab jutting out of the mound of snow. But then the flakes flew in and obscured her view. The cab would be buried in minutes anyway. Dave hadn't been joking about the increased weight slowing them down. Their speed seemed to dip from a solid 25 miles per hour down to just under 18. The tracks continued to grind up snow and ice as they crawled along in the shadows of the mountain range to their right side. The fuel gauge took a hit as well. They had to stop more than once to top off the tanks. Zack seemed to have recovered himself and napped intermittently. Anya watched him. Through his shirt, she could make out the links of chain that attached to the necklace he wore. Dave eyed him as well.
He seems fine now, if that's what you're thinking.
Yeah.
Carbon monoxide is tough stuff.
Guess you really never know how quick it can go wrong until it starts to go wrong, huh?
Yeah, something like that.
Anya stretched, trying to ease her ribs. She was tucked behind Zack with all of the equipment. She didn't have a lot of room to maneuver or make herself comfortable, and it felt as if she'd spent the past several hours bunched up. She desperately wanted to stretch her legs.
How much longer?
About an hour, maybe less.
We're that close?
Yep.
Well, that's good news at least.
Yeah, the getting there is always the toughest part. But I'm sure it'll all be worth it once you get a look at the place.
Last night you made it sound like you'd never even seen the place. Or that you hadn't known Zack was involved in it.
Yeah, well, that was before I got a chance to know you. I don't like putting all my cards on the table until I know who holds the deck. That way I keep the surprises in my life to a minimum.
Zack stirred from his doze and blinked at them.
Talking about the dig?
Dave was just prepping me for the first views of it.
Have you ever seen a big hole in the ground?
Of course.
There you go.
Yep. So much for romance, huh?
Zack patted the necklace where it lay under his shirt.
This thing weighs heavy on my heart. I want to figure out where it came from and who it might have belonged to.
Can I see it again?
Zack turned to her and took off the necklace. He handed it to her, and Anya was again surprised at its weight.
I was hired to come down and check things out by a company out of Milwaukee, Navstar. Supposedly they do a lot of work for oil conglomerates, and I felt pretty sure that they were a front for some government operations. Sometimes you just get a gut feeling about these things.
So what happened?
They approached me about coming down to look a site over for possible paleontological finds. As far as I knew at that point, there wasn't much down here worth examining in any great detail. I mean, sure, I'd heard about the fossils and plants that had been found down here, but beyond that, it seemed like a dumb assignment. To wait for the oil companies to cover their asses.
What changed your mind?
The paycheck.
You're motivated by money now.
Trish and I got divorced. She took the kids. I didn't have a chance at custody being away throughout the year like I was. The judge granted her sole custody. I get visits when I'm home, but it's been tough making ends meet with the alimony and child support.
And the job came along at just the right moment.
Yep.
Anya contemplated the necklace for a moment, and then glanced at Dave.
This is sounding more and more like a government conspiracy all the time.
Oh, it most definitely is. We know that now. They control every aspect of the dig site. The oil companies aren't even involved, believe it or not.
So who's running the show? CIA?
Who knows? I heard something about a DARPA project. They'd be the ones looking to scoop up anything extraterrestrial and reverse engineer it so it becomes the next iPod or something. Anyway, they flew me down here and we trekked out to the site. By the time I got there, they already had a series of tents and hardened prefab shells in place. There's a hole that literally goes right into the base of the mountain. You can descend the better part of a half a mile right into the mountain itself.
Incredible.
That's what I said too. On that first day, they got me outfitted and showed me a map of tunnels they made. Had a number of branches on it, and I wanted to go off exploring. They said no. They weren't sure how structurally sound it was yet. But I sneaked off anyway, and down a long, winding passage in the dark. My headlamp caught something glinting in the loose rocks left over from the drilling.
The necklace.
Yeah. When I pulled it out, it felt like I was trying to jerk an anchor out of the water. But then when I held it up, it was almost a magical experience.
And what happened when you showed it to them?
They ran the tests we spoke about last night. When things started coming back odd, they got really interested. Of course, it's all very compartmentalized. I'm positive there are people on the site who know how all this is supposed to fit together. Damned if anyone's talking. So, in the meantime, they've been bringing in more scientists. And I requested the only person I knew I could trust. You.
I'm flattered.
I need someone watching my back. Someone who knows how to think and can maybe make sense of all this stuff.
Well, I can't wait to get there.
Well, it's just past 5 p.m. now. I'm betting we'll be there, inside of 20 minutes now.
Good. Probably freaking out that I've been gone this long. They're not exactly the most trusting people on the planet.
Sorry to hear things didn't work out with you and Trish. Was it a long time coming?
Yeah, I guess so. I tried to make adjustments. I changed my work schedule, stopped going off on long hauls away from home. But even when I made the changes, it just didn't seem like she was into the marriage anymore. I got the feeling she'd rather be off doing her own thing without the likes of me around.
That's really tough. I'm sorry.
Honestly, I'm not so much broken up over her. I miss the hell out of my kids. I can't stand thinking of them living with another guy and calling him dad. Pretty juvenile, huh?
No, it's not. It's completely natural to think that way. After all, you helped bring them into the world in the first place.
And I figure with this paycheck I'm getting, at least I can secure their futures for them. Even if their mother thinks I'm a bum, I can rest easy knowing they've got money for college and maybe a head start on life. It's more than what I had grown up.
Anya patted Zack on his shoulder and he smiled.
It'll work out, Zack. It'll work out in the end.
I hope so. This job could be a good stepping stone for me.
I'm sure they'll be pleased with your work. And I'll do my best to make sure you get the credit necessary, okay?
Thanks, Anya. I really appreciate that.
Attention, unmarked vehicle. You are approaching a United States government secured area. This area has been officially recognized as an environmental disaster area. You must proceed no farther. Please turn around and head back the way you came.
Oh, like they don't know it's us.
They have to be sure, I guess.
Better give them what they want.
Dave nodded and picked up the handset.
This is Romeo 15 Whiskey, requesting permission to proceed.
Authentication code?
11 Zulu Delta.
Confirm, you're clear to proceed. Report directly to in processing upon arrival.
Roger that.
Dave switched off the handset and glanced back at Anya.
You ready for this?
Always.
And here we go.
As they rounded the bend, immense lights that had been set up to illuminate the entire area blinded Anya. She blinked several times before finally being able to focus again.
Dave, slow down. I want to check us out.
Dave nodded and slowed almost to a stop. Sure enough, Anya saw something military-shaped walk to the side door. Dave opened it, and a soldier dressed all in white stood there with his rifle.
Identification?
Dave removed an ID card from his wallet and passed it over. The guard studied it and then handed it back.
All right. Make sure you park this and head over to in processing.
Dave closed the door again and drove the snowcat into a parking area that looked well sheltered from the elements. Other snowcats sat there along with smaller snowmobiles.
This is quite the setup.
You ain't seen nothing yet.
Dave parked the vehicle and killed the engine.
All right, let's get out and get the in-processing done. Then I need to find a toilet.
Thanks for sharing. They climbed out of the snowcat. Dave led them toward a hard-shell prefabricated unit with lights strung up. He opened the door.
In you go.
Anya and Zach hustled through, with Dave closing the door against the cold. Inside, warm air greeted them, and they all unzipped their parkas. Dave approached a desk and the soldiers sitting behind it. A sidearm was clearly visible.
Evening.
Hello. I'll need IDs from everyone.
Zach handed his over while Anya struggled to get her passport out. Finally, she managed to extract it from her bag and handed it to the soldier, who looked her over.
Do I know you from somewhere?
TV. Chasing History's Monsters.
Yeah, that's it. Hey, I really love that show, especially when what's-her-name is on.
Christy Chatham. Yeah, she's a doll.
The soldier handed back her passport with a faint smile.
Enjoy your stay.
Thanks.
They started to leave when the soldier stopped them.
Oh, wait, don't forget these. You have to wear them at all times, just in case.
Anya took a small credit card-sized box from him.
What's this thing?
Radiation detector.
Radiation? Zach, just what the hell is going on here anyhow?
I don't know. This is all new to me.
Just a precaution, most likely. Come on, let's get the gear.
They walked back into the biting cold. Anya spotted an American flag stuck into the ground and noticed that the cold air had frozen it stiff.
So where's this big environmental accident?
Later. Let's get the gear and get settled. We can check it out later, like tomorrow morning.
I thought we were under the gun here.
Right now, I want to rest and get some food into my belly. I also want to find out what's been going on since I left.
All right.
They got back to the snowcat and opened the rear compartment. Zach handed Anya one of the boxes. Dave heaved out another long box, and Zach grabbed the final bit of stuff. They walked over to another series of prefab shelters. Zach ducked into one of them and then waved them on in. Inside, Anya could see four beds set up with space heaters blasting out warm air. The lighting was great, and although sparse in creature comforts, Anya did notice a closed-off toilet stall at the back.
Gangway coming through.
Oh, holy Toledo.
So what's with all the gear?
Just some standard boring stuff. I wanted to see if I can get down farther into the earth with it, and possibly see if there are any other items that might help describe the necklace.
You think there might be?
I don't know. At this point, even being away for a couple of days, things can change in a dime. Who knows what's been happening since I left? Come in!
A hooded figure entered and removed his parka. Anya saw a man of about 50 standing before them. He removed his gloves and headed right for Anya.
So, you're our newest addition here.
I guess so.
Welcome. My name is Colonel Thompson. I'm in charge of the operation here at Horlick.
Nice to meet you. But what is this operation exactly? I was under the impression it was just a dig site.
Oh, it is, it is. But when Zach here found that necklace, the scope of things changed a bit. Now it's more of a recovery operation than anything else.
Recovery? What are you talking about?
Since you left us, Zach, the crews kept digging. We found some more items.
More? Like what exactly?
Evidence of a race of people living here long before most scientists would agree it was possible to fashion items like we found. From what we've discovered, they were extremely advanced, and we still can't fathom what the metal is. We've even sent some back to the States for analysis, and they can't determine its origin.
Incredible.
So what we're hoping is that you and Miss Creed here...
Please, call me Anya.
Very well, Anya. We're hoping that you will be able to go down into the dig site tomorrow morning first thing and help us try to figure out who these people were.
Do you have any ideas?
None whatsoever. The ideogram of three snakes keeps popping up, however. Maybe it figured into their mythology in some way.
The other items you've found have had this ideogram on them as well?
We've got a pot and some kind of kettle, both made from the same type of metal, and both are emblazoned with that trio of snakes. It's quite unusual.
And what about the possibility of these items being extraterrestrial in origin?
Well, now, I suppose that's an idea that Zach had put forth. Zach, you're far too obsessed about this alien thing. If you focus on it too much, you'll blind yourself to other possibilities.
So you admit there's a possibility?
Oh, well, sure, there's always a chance. I mean, it certainly got all the makings of a good theory. Unidentifiable metal, strange ideogram, evidence of a race existing here long before it should. Sure, it could be aliens. Why not?
You seem awfully open to the idea.
Anya, when you've been in the military as long as I have, you see things. Sometimes you ask questions, only if it's permissible, but you still see things. And I've seen a lot. Certainly enough to know that nothing is as impossible as at first it seems.
I understand.
All right then. Glad we had a chance to meet up and discuss things. I look forward to seeing you both down on the dig bright and early tomorrow. Did you have any troubles getting out here?
Snow slide. Took out my snowcat. We had to double up in the second one.
Right. I'll send a recovery team as soon as the weather breaks. I can't do it until then. Don't want them exposed to the elements unless they can get it back. How far away was that?
A couple of hours back.
Good enough. Have a good night.
Pulling his gloves back on, Thompson smiled and then ducked back through the door and out into the cold night.
Nice guy. Likes to rib me on my obsession with aliens.
I can tell. You've known him long?
Just since I got here. He was in charge. I didn't even know it was a military operation until I arrived. Up to that point, I was still thinking the oil companies were behind it.
Not a chance, huh?
Not a chance.
Dave emerged, looking much more relieved.
Oh, I really hope you guys don't have to use the can anytime soon.
Great. I hope you left the fan on.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Thanks.
Dave grinned and lay down on his cot, arms under his head.
No sweat. What did Thompson have to say?
He was just filling us in on the discovery of some more items. A pot and a kettle.
Yeah, so what's the plan then?
First thing tomorrow, we head down into the dig site.
Oh, cool.
In the meantime, we need to get some food and then some sleep. It's going to be another long day tomorrow. There's a lot of stuff to check out, and I want to be ready for anything.
Is there a regular mess hall here?
Oh, yeah. Got a great cook here, too. I heard tell that Colonel Thompson's a real foodie, so any place he goes, he makes sure he's brought along a good cook in his unit. And this guy is top-notch.
You've got all the gossip, huh?
Well, not all of it, but a fair chunk. Anything food-related, that's a given. I love to eat.
I'm getting hungry. What say we head on over and see how good the cook really is?
Could I get one of you to bring me back a doggy bag? Oh, kind of wiped out here.
You feeling okay, pal?
Yeah. Why?
Oh, just checking. I don't want you to have any lingering effects from the carbon monoxide. You think you want to get yourself checked out, just to be sure?
I'm fine. I just need some good rest. Sitting up in a snowcat all day long can wear you out.
Yeah, don't I know it.
Zach, you sure you're all right?
I'm fine. Get going. Just bring me back some dinner and some cookies, if you don't mind.
Fair enough. Dave, it looks like it's just you and me.
Well, after you, then.
Anya bit into the sliced honey ham and leaned back in her chair, chewing blissfully.
Wow. Oh, that is good.
Across from her, Dave nodded and chewed his food slowly, savoring each morsel of the meal.
Told ya. The man is gifted.
They sat in an elongated cylindrical hut with kitchen facilities at the back and several long folding tables set out in the front. It was a sizable setup, and judging from the number of staff and people eating, the dig site numbered at least 100 people. Not exactly the small outpost she'd expected. Dave raised his glass of orange juice.
This is a rarity as well, and it sure tastes good.
He drank it down and then rose to get himself a second glass while Anya continued to survey the scene. She spotted a lot of soldiers, all men, and all looking very tanned and heavily armed, as if they trusted no one but the close brotherhood they had with each other. Their weapons were always close by, leaning against the table or in between their knees while they ate. It looked as if they were expecting trouble. Dave sat back down.
You okay?
Just curious about the guns. It's like they think they're going to be attacked at any second.
Yeah, maybe they know something we don't.
Anya glared at him, and he just grinned.
Hey, joking!
Not funny.
Sorry. But these guys, they're professional soldiers. People like us, we dig into the ground. We'd probably feel the same way about our shovel or pick, right?
Maybe.
So they like their guns. No big deal.
Anya noticed another group seated away from the soldiers.
And what about them? What's their story?
Dave glanced over at the three men and two women sitting about 20 feet away and shrugged.
Oh, bookworms. Scientists. Probably won't meet them on a dig tomorrow. Right now, they look pretty worn out.
It was true. Anya could see the streaks of dirt on their faces. Their coveralls were caked in dark mud, and their boots seemed to have tracked in part of the mountain. They spoke very little and ate in relative silence. Dave finished off his ham and macaroni and cheese and went back looking for more. Anya spooned some macaroni and cheese into her mouth and marveled at the taste. The cook was damned good at his job. Dave came back instead with a slice of chocolate cake.
Can you believe what this guy can do back there? He's like a genius or something.
And what about you?
Me?
I thought you dug rocks.
I've been known to.
Just what is it you really do, Dave? First you tell me you're a geologist, then you tell me you do things for the government. And I'm left wondering what kind of geologist does favors for Uncle Sam, looks after my good friend Zach, and generally safeguards things. I'm coming up blank.
Is it important that you know?
Would you trust your life to someone who wasn't 100% upfront with you?
Well, fair point. But sometimes we can't reveal all we want to reveal. It's just the way things go.
I understand that. The problem is, I've been attacked once already, and then we had that snowslide earlier. I'm not paranoid, but I am cautious. And when strange things start happening, I start looking around at the variables in my life.
Well, you've got nothing to fear from me.
If only you knew how many times I've heard that before. So just tell me, are you a spook or what?
Well, you're convinced I am, apparently.
I'm not convinced of anything except this entire dig site seems weird. And it's filled with some odd characters. And this whole continent might just be ripe for the loony bin for all I know. I'd like some answers, preferably honest ones.
I was trained as a geologist.
Was?
Yeah, but rocks never did much for me. I worked for the oil companies. I did some conservation work. I was bored.
So what happened?
I met someone.
Who?
His name's not important. He recruited me to come and work with him on a project he guaranteed would excite me like nothing else.
Go on.
Turns out it was a project examining rocks taken from one of the moon missions back in the 1970s.
Moon rocks? What was the big deal about that?
The rocks were found on a moon, but they didn't come from the moon originally.
Yeah, but aren't there meteorites slamming into it all the time? They could have come from clear across the galaxy for all you know. I'm still not seeing the connection.
Dave glanced at his watch and then back up at Anya.
Look, I'm worn out and we still need to get Zach some food. Let's continue this conversation tomorrow, okay?
Okay, but I'm not one to let things drop.
Yeah, well, I thought as much. Let's get going.
As Anya and Dave piled in to get out of the cold, Zach woke up from his nap. He rubbed his eyes and sat up as they unzipped their parkas.
Hey, how was dinner?
Oh, fantastic. Ham and mac and cheese. Delicious. We scored you some chocolate cake as well. The cook delivered tonight. He really did.
Anya handed Zach the food and sat down on her bed. She leaned back and ran a hand over her ribs. They felt fine, and she could even prod them without any pain.
So how are they?
They seem fine.
Oh, cool.
Anya removed her boots. As each one came off, she wriggled her toes and rotated her ankles, relishing the release.
Ah, oh, that's nice.
Dave slid off his boots as well.
Oh, you aren't kidding. I think I forgot how my toes feel.
Zach tore into the food bag, grabbed a plastic spoon, and dug in.
Mmm. Oh, damn, this is good.
Yeah, told ya. Anyone up for some cards?
I don't think so. I'm actually pretty exhausted from the day. I think it's lights out for me.
I'm with Anya. I think I'm still feeling a little lightheaded from earlier. This food is fantastic, though. But seriously, we should grab some sleep. Get ready for the morning. I expect we'll be quite busy tomorrow.
Yeah, fair enough.
Did you see any of the rest of the team at dinner?
A couple of them were seated close by, but Dave suggested we hold off on the intros until tomorrow. They looked pretty tired anyway.
Yeah, it's no picnic down here. but it will be fascinating.
Anya leaned back and took her snow pants off. She'd slept in her thermal underwear. The blankets on the bed felt extremely lightweight, but warm. She got up, pulled them back, and slid under the covers.
Oh, hey, don't forget your hat.
Really?
If the heat goes out, you'll lose a lot through your head and be well on your way to hypothermia before you even realize what's going on.
Anya grabbed her hat and slid it back onto her head.
Wow. I'm gonna have terminal hat head tomorrow.
Comes with the territory.
Zack crumpled up the paper food containers and tossed them into a waste can near the door.
Thanks for dinner, guys. I'd hit the spot.
Anya glanced over at Dave, who was already under his covers.
Is he loud?
Depends on how much beer he's had to drink.
He didn't have any that I saw.
Then we should be okay.
Good.
Anya settled back down into her bed. Zack flipped off the lights.
Oh, good night. Oh.
Sleep well.
Anya snuggled down into her bedding and glanced at the walls. The outside lights stayed on, silhouetting various shapes against the exterior of their shell. Finally, she closed her eyes and drifted off to sleep. She dreamed about digging into the mountain. Rocks and soil surrounded her, and then, in the center of a spot, she saw something gleaming in the dark soil. Her hands reached for it, withdrawing it from its earthly tomb. Three metallic snakes looked up at her, their skin covered in scales that gleamed different colors as the light from Anya's headlamp hit them. And in an instant, they came to life, wriggling and wrapping themselves around her hands as their tongues flicked out, tasting the air. They headed right for Anya. Anya woke and sat up, shaking. As she herded her scattered wits back together, she was relieved that neither Zack nor Dave had woken.
Stupid dream.
Anya lay back down and rubbed her eyes with her fingers. She hadn't even been down to the dig yet, and she was already having nightmares about it. She wondered if Antarctica was getting to her already. Outside, the lights shifted every once in a while as the wind blew them little by little. The swaying lights started to lull her, but then she saw movement. A vague shape started near the bottom edge of the shelter and grew. The shadow approached, silhouetted by the outside lights. Anya recognized the shape of a man. He stood right outside their shelter and seemed unsure of whether he was going to knock or go away. Was he there to greet them? Or was this something else? Anya felt uneasy. She rolled herself out of bed. She closed her eyes and saw the sword hanging in the opaque mist, ready if she needed it. Anya stole over to the door, careful not to make any noise. There was no time to put on her coat or boots. If this was trouble, she wanted to handle it immediately. She wanted to know who was stalking her shelter. The shadow showed no signs of moving. Anya reached for the door handle, took several deep breaths, and steeled herself for the waiting wind outside. She jerked the door open and looked outside. As soon as the wind touched her exposed skin, she clenched her teeth. She looked around the shelter, searching for the shadow, but it was gone. Dave was out of bed and at her side in an instant. The pistol he held in his hand stood out in the light. The look on his face was harder than anything she'd seen before.
What the hell happened?
I saw someone standing out here.
So you came out to investigate without putting on any boots or even your coat? Shut the door, for crying out loud, before the whole camp wakes up.
Anya yanked the door shut. Instantly, the heat of the shelter started warming her. She stood by one of the space heaters and felt the waves rolling over her. Dave shook his head. Zack wiped the sleep from his eyes and sat up.
What happened?
Anya saw someone outside.
So?
Exactly.
You don't understand. He was outside, just standing there. It wasn't like he was on his way to someplace else. He just stood there. It was weird.
And apparently, common sense got sacrificed in the name of finding out who it was. She opened a door without her gear on.
You nuts or what?
I just thought it was weird. And I wanted to know who it was. It's my fault I ran out without the gear. I just figured there was no time.
Dave led her back to her bed and then wrapped her in the blankets.
Look, your socks are wet from standing by the door. Didn't you even notice? Put on a new pair.
Crap. No, I didn't notice.
Better make it two pairs. She'd be lucky if she doesn't lose a toe or something if she keeps this up.
Oh, thanks for that cheerful prognosis.
Hey, I wasn't the one standing in water in my underwear in an open doorway in the Antarctic at night.
Okay, okay.
Dave got a couple pair of socks, and Anya slid them onto her feet. Her feet tingled from the freezing conditions outside, but she didn't think there'd be any lasting damage.
I'll be okay.
The way you gasped, I thought someone had taken you.
Thanks for coming to my rescue.
She eyed the pistol lying on the blanket.
Interesting bedmate you've got yourself there.
Yeah, well, you weren't actually supposed to see that. But then again...
It's all right. I understand that you've got some secrets you may not want to share with the rest of us.
Zack flopped back down on his pillow.
Can we get back to sleep now?
Anya, you sure you'll be okay?
Yeah.
Well, okay then. Good night.
Dave patted her leg and then walked back to his bed with the pistol. Anya watched him go, wondering if he slept with that gun under his pillow or something. She tucked herself back under the blankets and closed her eyes. Who had been standing outside her shelter? And why were they just standing there? Was it the same person who'd tried to kill her back in McMurdo? Or was she now in danger from an entirely different person here in this camp? Maybe in the morning she'd be able to figure it out better.
You awake?
Anya cracked open one of her eyes. The lighting hadn't changed all that much. It was still dark in her shelter, and bright outside from the electrical light system. Anya hid her face in the blanket and rolled over.
Wake me in another 5 hours, please.
It's 0600, time to rise and shine.
Anya turned back. Dave stood there smiling at her.
Come on, sleepyhead, up and at 'em.
How is it possible for so much time to go by? I feel like I just closed my eyes and now I'm getting up again.
Yeah, it brings back memories of high school, doesn't it?
I hated high school. Those are memories better left relegated to the past, thank you very much.
Zack slid out of his bed, oozing to the floor. Dave glanced at him.
You okay?
I feel like I'm hungover. Still worn out.
Maybe you ought to try taking that necklace off. It's probably weighing you down.
Funny.
But he lifted the necklace over his head and let it rest on his bed.
Still, it's not a bad idea. I'll hand this back in as soon as we're ready to get some breakfast. Gotta pee. Be right back.
Zack padded off to the John while Dave just grinned at the long-suffering expression on Anya's face.
Don't say someday I'll treasure these little updates.
Hey, wouldn't dream of it.
Good.
Tag, you're it.
Thanks, I think.
Anya went into the closet-sized bathroom with her toothbrush and comb. Like she figured, her hair was nearly a lost cause, but she got the worst tangles out, splashed some water on her face, and brushed her teeth. When she emerged, Zack and Dave were already zipping themselves into their gear.
Geez, guys, I was just in there for 2 minutes. How about waiting for me before you go running off to explore the mountain?
It's breakfast time. Rumor is the cook's making pancakes this morning.
How'd you know that?
Dave pointed at his nose.
The schnoz has a gift.
Guy's like a shark sensing blood in the water from miles away. Food doesn't stand a chance around this man.
Anya stepped into her snow pants and then her jacket. She zipped up and followed them out of the prefab shelter. Outside, the area was still dark, and Anya found it tough getting used to the idea that it would stay dark.
How do you deal with it? The lack of sunlight?
Believe it or not, you get used to it. You should be here in the summer when it's sunny all the time. You wouldn't believe how fast you can get tired at that extreme as well.
It really is like being on another planet. And of course, I don't mean to influence you guys into thinking about the whole alien thing.
Oh no, you'd never do that.
After their breakfast of pancakes and eggs, Zack led them over to one of the command shelters. They found Colonel Thompson sitting inside at a bank of computers. Anya saw bundles of cables running out of the tent.
How do you guys power this station anyway, Colonel?
Generators. We keep them running 24 hours a day. That gives us the juice we need.
But all that gas, how do you have enough of it?
Gas? Who said anything about gas?
But if it's not gas, then...
Nuclear power.
DARPA perfected a small generator model some years back for use in remote outposts like this. We can generate enough kilowatts to keep everything we need going indefinitely. It's an easy setup and teardown operation.
Provided there are no accidents.
Well, Zach, that's always a risk. But then again, no nuclear sub has ever had an accident in all the years they've been at sea.
A setup like this must have a host of its own unique challenges.
I'd rather not get into the specifics of nuclear power right now. Suffice it to say, we believe things here are perfectly safe.
They'd better be. Otherwise, that cover story about the environmental disaster just might come true.
Indeed. You have something for me? A necklace, I presume?
Here you go. Back safe and sound.
The colonel accepted it from him and gestured for another soldier to take it.
Place it in the containment area. No one handles it unless I authorize it. We started picking up readings the day after you left. Down in the dig site, the Geiger counter started going off the scales. We couldn't pinpoint the source. It seemed to fluctuate wildly from time to time, and then it would simply disappear.
You couldn't determine the source?
No, so we took the step of giving everyone portable rad detectors. What you got on your parkas now.
That's new.
Anya had almost forgotten about hers. She looked down and saw the strip of red across her chest.
Yep.
If that turns blue, get the hell out of wherever you are. Otherwise, you'll start to glow in the dark.
Great.
Good. Now, what else?
We'd like to head down, if that's okay with you.
Fine, fine. Just be sure to take the necessary survival gear. They've gone deeper than when you were here last.
I've only been gone 2 days.
Yeah, well, things have been stepped up. Our new orders are to thoroughly penetrate the mountain and determine whether or not the artifacts we're uncovering are of any earthly origin or not. In the event they are not, then we are to try to determine where they come from.
Well, that ought to be easy enough. We'll just search them on the internet and see what planet pops up.
That'll be enough. This is a serious matter. And the people upstairs aren't taking any chances.
Hence the armed militia?
Hence prudence. We're not here to turn this into a military operation. It is still primarily a scientific exploration of a possible alien environment, but we also like to be prepared.
How so?
Washington has sent down another advisor.
Another scientist?
No. He's something of a specialist on security issues. He's to take command in the event we uncover something we can't control.
What? Like Godzilla?
No, like something otherworldly. Something that might be slumbering right now beneath our very feet.
You're kidding. It's just a mountain.
We don't know that yet. And until we do for certain, we will take whatever precautions we deem necessary to secure the safety of the people in this camp.
Behind them, the door to the shelter opened, and a hooded figure strode in. The colonel rose with a smile.
Allow me to introduce you to Major Braden.
The figure paused and slipped his hood off. Anya caught her breath at the sight of the man standing before her with a broad smile splayed out across his face. The first thing Anya wanted to do was shout, "Garin!" But something deep inside her stopped that from occurring. Instead, she merely smiled and extended her hand.
"Anya Creed, nice to meet you."
Garin shook her hand and bowed slightly.
"Likewise."
Anya couldn't help but grin. Garin's normal continental manner seemed to have been replaced, almost painfully so, by the brusquely polite personality of an American military officer. It wasn't a mantle he looked comfortable assuming, and Anya could only wonder why in the world he'd shown up at the bottom of it. Dave and Zach shook his hand, and then Thompson came around and clapped Garin on the back. The gesture seemed to shock Garin. He looked as if he wanted to punch the colonel. But as quickly as that expression rolled over him, it was gone. Garin slapped the disguise back into place and immediately smiled instead.
"Major Braden here is one of our most experienced professionals in the field of unorthodox security procedures. He's been trying his best to push through several new protocols that'll help us deal with the possibility of alternative security threats."
Alternative security threats? That sounds utterly engrossing and frightening at the same time.
Oh, it is. I was up late one night last week reading over his latest brief. Truly incredible suggestions. Of course, some of them will take time to win over the more temperate members of our senior staff, but I think there's a good chance they'll eventually be implemented.
"You flatter me, sir, but I appreciate your support and that of your staff."
"Not at all. Not at all."
"May Maybe you could show me those briefs sometime, Major Braden. I'm always interested in reading up on military doctrine.
Are you now? I wouldn't have believed a woman like you would be interested in such things.
Anya knew he wanted her to drop it, but somehow she just couldn't. She really enjoyed seeing him squirm.
Oh, military strategy has become something of a hobby for me as of late. I'm working my way through a wonderful book detailing Frederick the Great's campaigns against the Austrians.
You know, I think I read that book last year. It was a wonderful historical piece, if I recall.
Now, don't you go and ruin the ending for me. I can't wait to see how it turns out.
Oh, you're too much, Miss Greed. Really, you are.
Isn't she, though? Sir, if you don't require any more of me for the moment, I believe I'd like to get a first-hand look at the dig site. It's probably as good a time as any to get down there and see what we might be dealing with.
Yes, that's fine. But perhaps you can all go down together.
Yeah, together?
Sure. We were just heading down there as well. You're more than welcome to come along with us.
Yes, the more the merrier.
Yes, well, that sounds fantastic. Truly. I'll report back later then, Colonel.
Excellent.
Garin turned, and his eyes shot daggers at Anya.
After you.
Anya ducked back outside with Zack and Dave, neither of whom seemed all that interested in Garin. Anya certainly was. His sudden appearance raised a whole bunch of new questions for her. Chief among them was, why was he here? The last she'd heard of his whereabouts, he was somewhere deep in the jungles of Africa, off on a search for some valuable artifact. And now, he was here. Anya frowned and stopped herself from demanding to know what the hell he was up to. She kept herself in check as they walked across the compound toward a part she hadn't seen yet. Zack and Dave carried the gear they'd brought with them in the snowcat. Garin walked ahead of them, doing his best to stay clear of Anya. She followed in his wake, keeping herself just close enough to be a nuisance.
Some weather, eh, Major?
It's awful stuff.
It's taking me a while to get used to it, but then again, I've only just recently arrived myself. How long have you been here, Major?
1 week.
Is that so? Sounds like you got down here pretty fast from... Well, where were you before this?
I'm afraid that's classified, Miss Creed. I'm sure you understand that I cannot reveal where I've been or what I've been doing. Security and all.
Oh, sure. I just thought it would be a nice way to pass the time.
Perhaps later. When we get to know each other a little better. A drink over dinner?
Zack cocked a sardonic eye over the whole conversation.
A drink over dinner? This isn't some five-star resort, Major.
Yes, of course. I was merely being facetious. Given our surroundings, a little levity is sometimes just the ticket for good conversation.
Dave shook his head but said nothing. Anya knew what he was thinking. Major Braden didn't act or talk much like any major he'd ever met. Garin would have to watch himself. His act might fool Zack and even the Colonel, but Anya knew Dave was something else entirely. They reached the entrance to a wide shelter, and Zack paused.
This is it. We go inside and take the path down into the mountain. The Colonel erected this sheltered entrance to try to cut down in the wind blowing into the dig site, stirring up all sorts of sediment and rocks. Plus, it helps keep the temperature much warmer than if we were exposed.
Indeed. Let's proceed.
They ducked into the entrance and were met by two guards who gave them a once-over and then let them pass without incident. Behind them, Anya could see a hole roughly 10 feet by 10 feet going into the mountain itself. A string of lights led the way, and she could see the bulbs disappear into the darkness. Dave handed her a hard hat with a headlamp.
Here, just in case of a cave-in.
Oh, this is getting better all the time.
I wouldn't worry about that. If something happens here, I'm sure Major Braden here can support the entire cave. Isn't that right, Major?
Just like Atlas, I would knowingly sacrifice myself so that you all might live.
Is that so?
It's my duty.
Dave slapped a hat into his hands.
Yeah, well, here, Atlas, be sure you take a piece of cover for your noggin. We wouldn't want any of the rocks in there to smack into your brain.
Garin placed the helmet on his head and then shucked his parka. Anya removed hers as well.
It's warmer than I thought.
Being out of the wind helps a tremendous amount. You can actually work up a sweat down here.
The equipment's all set. We're good to go.
They all switched on their headlamps and started walking down the slowly sloping path that led them right into the mountain itself.
Hey, Zach, it's been bored out pretty well. I wasn't expecting this much clearance.
They used one of those tunnel machines to break into this part. Basically, they came in here and churned up a whole bunch of the mountain. Not exactly the best way to go about preserving any possible finds. Once I came on scene, I told them they had to remove the machine and let us work by hand. They grudgingly accepted that, but once the colonel came down, he was much more reasonable about it.
I'd imagine that's because the chance that there are more artifacts has convinced him of the necessity to proceed with caution.
Definitely, and we have ever since.
When did you say the colonel asked for you to come down here again? Last week?
The colonel didn't request me. I was assigned to come down here and offer my services.
Anya mulled that over. She knew that Garin had a pile of money, and acquiring proper paperwork, identity, and security clearances were something he could pull together in no time. But did he know what this was all about?
Well, that was astute of your superiors to see you might be needed down here.
They're always looking out for the best interests of the country.
The country, in this case, being the nation of Garin.
I'm sure they are.
They reached a fork in the tunnel. Zack pointed in one direction.
Workers are over there digging into a separate part of the mountain. One of the things they've found already is a huge deposit of copper. I'm not sure what their plans are, but I think it's a safe bet that if the mountain doesn't yield any more surprises, they may turn this over to a big mining company. Get them to haul the copper out of here.
That would turn this part of Antarctica into a huge eyesore. I thought mining was prohibited down here.
It's a touchy subject. A lot of private companies have their eyes on this land. It's completely unspoiled and ripe for destroying. Some scientists in the employ of these companies have speculated that there might be untold reserves of petroleum, chromium, and a bunch of other highly valuable things down here. You can imagine how many dollar signs that would represent.
I would hope they wouldn't cave in to the pressure from the companies.
Of course they would. Since when has the government ever been able to withstand the influence exerted upon it by the private sector?
Anya raised her eyebrows. Dave turned and looked at Garin. Zack had stopped as well.
Which is to say, the government does exist for the needs of the people, so I'm sure that whatever they decide will be in its best interest.
Dave glanced at Anya with a quick roll of the eyes. Zack stopped, and Anya realized they were at a dead end in the tunnel.
We're here.
The hollowed-out part of the cave spread before them like the concave side of a saucer. Streaks of bright rock, veins of copper, and tints of various colors all converged at a single point almost directly in front of them. Dave removed his bag of gear and set it down. Anya stripped her gloves off and ran her hand along the wall, feeling the jagged rocks bite into the palm of her hand.
It's warm to the touch.
The mountain seems to conduct thermal energy up into the various caverns we've dug.
Garin studied the walls of the tunnel before glancing at Zack.
Where will you dig?
Right here where we're standing.
You didn't think we were going to bore into the rock, did you, Major?
Of course not. Although you did dig straight into the mountain. I was just curious.
Look at this wall here. If we went into the rock, we wouldn't get very far. What we're trying to do is get to the dirt. We've caused deliberate cave-ins where we know there's dirt above that can be reached through the layers of snow and ice on top of it. So we come at it from below.
Dave handed a shovel to Zack, and then one to Anya.
Well, here's to getting filthy dirty for the next few hours.
And finding something worth our time. I'd really like to figure out whose artifacts were in the process of digging up here.
I thought they were aliens.
Dave glanced at Garin's amused expression and frowned in return.
Yeah, we don't know anything right now. Could be some prehistoric race of humans who created that stuff.
Using a metal alloy that is unidentifiable? Something tells me that unless these people were the inhabitants of Atlantis, there's no way they could have forged the metal I've seen in that necklace.
We don't know everything about what happened back then. We've been mistaken in the past.
Anya frowned. They were at the beginning of their day, and already personalities were grating on each other.
Look, fellas, why don't we all just get digging? Get our minds on that and forget about where this might have come from? We can maybe figure that out later, okay?
Anya's right. We've got work to do.
Garin looked pained for a moment before he glanced at Zack.
Have you got another shovel?
Sure thing. Here.
Thank you.
Garin settled himself into the far corner of the cavern and started digging. Rogue Angel is continued on the next CD.